You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Ma'am, I'd like you to just take a moment, if you will, and call your attention to the exhibit that's been put in front of you.
Okay.
Do you recognize that?
I do.
And what is that?
That this is Tammy's change form.
Okay. And just on that page, can you tell the jury, what is she asking to have done on that page?
She's asking to have her life insurance increased to $80,000.
Would that be to $80,000 or by $80,000?
Up to $80,000. That was five times her salary.
Okay. And is, to be clear, she was asking to have a total of $80,000 increased in coverage above and beyond what she already had?
Correct.
Okay. For the record, I'm going to place upon the screen page 4 of that same exhibit. I'd like you to take a look at that, please.
Okay.
What is that?
That is the signature part of the form.
And whose signatures appear on that form?
Tammy's and Chad's.
And is there a reason why a spouse would sign on the insurance form?
If she elected spouse coverage, then the spouse's signature is required.
What does that mean to elect spouse coverage?
So she elected life insurance on her spouse.
Is that reflected anywhere in the change application?
It should, yes, either right after the employee election or...
And for the record, I've just put on the screen page 2 of that form. Can you look at that and tell us if she did in fact elect to add her spouse to the coverage?
She did. She elected $20,000 on her spouse.
Had she had any coverage for her spouse before, as far as you knew?
Oh, I don't recall.
Does spousal coverage come automatically when you begin employment?
It does not.
How long do you have to wait before you can add a spouse?
She can elect it right away. So most likely she elected it when she was first hired. Also a minimum amount for him. Otherwise, he would have had to have completed an evidence of insurability form.
Okay. So then can you explain what... Put that back up. I'm sorry. Then what is she requesting in this form down under the voluntary life insurance portion?
On this portion, she's got spouse coverage at $20,000 and she had already elected children coverage. So she kept the current amount of coverage. And then the bottom part is the accidental death and dismemberment, which comes along with the life insurance.
So on the election that you see for the $20,000, by your review of this form, had she ever had coverage for her spouse at that point?
Yes, because this was filled in automatically for each employee, and it has the keep current amount, and she elected to increase it. So she had the $10,000 on her spouse and increased it to $20,000.
Fair enough. And for the record, Your Honor, I misspoke. There are only 3 pages to that exhibit, so no notice.
And Judge, which exhibit is that he's referencing?
151. Ma'am, can you explain, was this form submitted to your office?
It was.
How was it submitted?
I'm not sure if she sent it through. We have district mail where they can put things in the school and it would come to the district office, or if it was brought in and put it on my desk. I'm not sure how it was given to me.
Okay. But you apparently did receive it?
I did receive it.
And you recall having received that?
Yes.
Okay. And was it in good order as far as you know?
Yes.
And you, when you get those forms, what do you do with those forms?
I make a copy of them and then I submit the originals to the insurance company. And then the copies get filed in their employee files.
And I don't know if I asked or you said this before. Is there an open enrollment period?
There is.
And what is that period?
For a school district, it starts when school in the month of August, and then the insurance company gives about a 2-week leeway into September. So everything's due by the 15th of September to be effective 9/1.
Do you recall what the date was on the application we just had up there?
September 8th.
Was that within the time frame?
It was.
Do you recall later after that time period if a claim was ever submitted for that policy?
I do.
And can you tell us approximately by the best of your recollection, when did that happen, that claim?
The morning of the 21st.
Can you explain to the jury, do you recall how that claim was submitted? Were you contacted by anybody?
Yes. Chad came into the office Monday morning.
When you say Chad, do you mean Chad Daybell?
Correct. Yes.
And what did he say when he came into the office?
He came in to inquire about filing the life insurance claim. And I explained to him that we had to wait until the death certificate was received. And he said, that's okay. I've ordered 8 of them.
Okay. And do you have to have the death certificate to make a life insurance claim?
Yes, you do.
Is 8 a normal number of death certificates to request for most folks?
Not per my experience, no.
In your experience in the role that you were working in, did you often interact with employees as to handling claims made on these policies?
Yes.
So you, in fact, had dealt with employees who, or surviving spouses who had made life insurance claims?
Yes.
So what did you explain to him at that time the process would be?
That I gave him the claim form, that would need to be completed. And then once he had the death certificate, then he could bring those back. Then I would complete the employer statement and send all of the paperwork plus the death certificate into the insurance company.
Was there anything unusual about the fact that the timing of his claim for the insurance in your experience?
In my experience, yes.
What was unusual?
That he came in so quickly.
When you say quickly, will you explain that context to the jury, please?
Tammy had passed away sometime between Saturday and Sunday, and he was in my office Monday morning.
And when he came in, he had already ordered those death certificates?
Yes.
What is the next step for a claimant to take with you to make a claim for life insurance? Well, once they've got the death certificates, what do they need to do?
Then they submit all of the completed forms to me with the death certificate, and then I submit it. And after that, the insurance company will contact them directly.
Is a beneficiary statement one of the completed forms that's required?
Yes.
Your Honor, if I may publish State's Proposed Exhibit 152.
152?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
In fact, thank you. It's an admitted exhibit. I misspoke.
We'll give you that exhibit then, Mr. Bailiff. We could please have Exhibit 152 provided to State's counsel.
Ma'am, what do you see on the screen in front of you?
That is the beneficiary statement that is part of the claim form.
And do you recognize that to be the same statement that Chad Daybell submitted?
I do.
I'd like to call your attention to the medical information, the second section of the form. Can you tell us, what is that very first question in the left-hand box? Can you read that, please?
Underneath the attending physicians?
Right underneath the word medical information.
Oh, when did health of deceased first become impaired?
And what date is reflected in there?
October 18th, 2019.
And when do you recall Tammy passed? What date?
Between the 19th and the 20th.
Okay. And was this form anything that you filled out?
It is not.
Who fills this out typically?
The beneficiary does.
And would that have been Chad Daybell?
Yes.
Did you happen to observe him fill this out?
I did not.
Did he submit this to you?
Completed, yes.
Did he do that in person?
He did.
Your Honor, if I might next publish State's Exhibit 153.
You will.
Ma'am, I'd like to call your attention to the exhibit on the screen there. What is that?
This is the employer statement portion of the claim.
Can you explain what that is?
It's where the employer fills out the information concerning the employee.
And did you fill this form out?
I did.
Is that your signature?
That is signature, yes.
Why is it necessary to fill this form out?
Since this is, it contains a group policy and a policy that is with, the premium is withheld through payroll. The employer is verifying that this is an employee of the district.
Your Honor, at this time, I would like to publish State's 152A.
You may.
Ma'am, I'd like to call your attention to the exhibit in front of you. What is that?
That is a life insurance payout from LifeMap.
What is the amount on that payout?
$130,000.
And who is this payable to?
Chad Daybell.
And what is the date up on the claim payment?
November 8th, 2019.
So the claim was submitted back on or around the 30th of October?
Correct.
Okay. Is it typical that a life insurance claim is made that quickly?
It can be.
What about the payout? Does the payout come back quickly?
As long as there's no problems with the claim form, yes.
What do you have to do to avoid any problems with the claim form?
For the claim form to be submitted, all the questions answered, everything done accurately.
I have just a moment, Your Honor.
You may.
Ma'am, I'm going to ask you to help clarify something. You'd indicated that when Ms. Daybell first began employment, she had the group coverage of $50,000?
Correct.
And then I think you said she elected an additional $10,000 at that time?
Correct.
So that would have been a total of $60,000?
Correct.
And then she later elected the additional $80,000?
She increased the $10,000 up to $80,000.
Thank you.
Yes.
So that $130,000 is the total amount of the claim?
Correct.
And was that payable only to Chad? Were there any other beneficiaries at that time?
He was the primary beneficiary at 100%. So no, there was no other beneficiaries.
And just for clarity, what does that mean to be the primary at 100%?
You can, when you file or when you submit the beneficiary statement, you have the primary and a contingent or secondary. Primary beneficiary receives the life insurance in the event of a death. Secondary beneficiaries would receive it in the event that the primary passes away before or with the employee.
And I'd asked you a bit earlier about whether you are typically contacted that quickly after someone passes. I think you said no.
Correct.
Can you explain how often had you recalled anyone else ever filing or contacting you that quickly about a claim?
I don't really recall that. Most of the time I was searching them out to remind them that they had a life insurance policy that we needed to file for them.
And just to clarify, what does that mean? Most of the time you were searching them out. Explain that to the jury, please.
I'm not sure if when employees elect, you know, the coverage, if they share it with their family or their spouse or whoever, that they actually have that coverage. So when we are notified of a death of an employee, I will then, after a time period, I will search them out if they have not contacted me.
Any reason why you would have to be in a situation where you would have to search the family out?
Judge, I'm going to object on the basis of relevance. I don't see where this line of questioning is going.
Sustained.
Was there anything else that was out of the norm from your perspective about the way the claim was requested?
Objection, vague.
Overruled.
You may answer.
With my recollection, I just remember him coming in awfully quickly. And then and the amount of death certificates that he ordered. And then he did return to file the claim on the 25th, as soon as he had the death certificates. I was out of town, so my coworkers told him I would be back on the 30th. And so when he was there first thing on the 30th, that just seemed odd to me that everything, he just was very quickly in making sure that it was filed as soon as possible.
Your Honor, and I have no more questions at this time. I've got the exhibits here for the marshal.
All right, no.
And Judge, I'm going to need exhibit 151, 152, and 153.
At this point then, Mr. Bailiff, why don't you just leave those exhibits, if you don't mind, up there, not published, but on the podium for counsel's reference, and then we'll make sure to get those returned once we're done with the witness. Mr. Pryor, you can inquire on cross.
Good morning, Ms. Yancey.
Good morning.
The number of death certificates would pertain to how many claims or other entities need copies of a death certificate. Is that correct?
Correct.
So you don't have any personal knowledge, do you, of what other life insurance policies Chad Daybell had on both himself and his wife, correct?
Correct.
So if he were to have another life insurance policy or two, he would need death certificates for that, correct?
That's correct.
And he would need death certificates for the mortician and for other entities as well, correct?
That's beyond my knowledge.
Right. So you, when you're saying it's unusual, every single person's situation is different. If I were to pass away, you don't know how many death certificates I need, right?
Correct.
And I don't know how many death certificates you need because of your financial situation, correct?
Correct.
And you don't know what Mr. Daybell's financial situation was other than the salary of his wife. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, on the subject of the salary of his wife, you talked about the fact that she was eligible for insurance up to five times her salary, correct?
Correct.
And when people are considering, in your experience, how much insurance they put on themselves, they look at a number of factors, correct?
Correct.
One of those factors is if you have children, or if you have a mortgage, or if you have car payments. There's a number of factors, correct?
Correct.
And given our current economy, and I won't get into politics, but given the situation, would you agree that having the money to pay for a funeral or a memorial or a service is often contemplated as part of those insurance costs, correct?
Correct.
And if people don't have the $2,000, $3,000, $10,000 to do that, they have to rely on the life insurance to pay that. Would you agree with that?
I would agree.
And that's contemplated when someone's deciding whether or not they're going to get insurance as to whether or not they're going to need money for things in the event something should happen, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So at the time, were you aware of what Mr. Daybell's occupation was?
I was not.
Are you aware that he didn't have any health insurance for any of himself or his family because he was self-employed as an author?
I was not aware, no.
Were you aware that he was unable, except prior in 2002, that he had life insurance for him and his wife, a sizable amount of
objection, life? Counsel's testifying.
I asked if she was aware, Judge.
That's sustained.
So you didn't know of any of the other financial situations related to the Daybell family at that point, correct?
I did not.
So when you say $80,000, I'll let you do the math. What's Tammy Daybell's salary as a librarian with Fremont County on a yearly basis?
Well, I don't know that for sure. They do have when it five times their salary, it can round up if it falls in between.
So if I were to represent to you that she was making about $16,000 a year as a librarian, working 35 hours a week, would you have any reason to disagree with that?
No.
Okay. And we don't know how much money approximately Mr. Daybell was making writing his books, right?
Correct.
Judge, I'm going to ask to publish the second page of Exhibit 151.
You may publish it.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. No, I'm looking at 151, and I'm looking at the, and Judge, I'm going to need a minute. I think I looked at put the wrong page up. If I could just have one moment, please.
Go ahead.
And Ms. Yancey, I'm looking at the top of the page where it says elected amount, and that's the spousal coverage. Is that correct?
Correct.
Voluntary life insurance for the spouse. And at this point, during this reapplication, there was a request for a $20,000 amount for Chad, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then the box below that says nothing about, is not checked for keep the current amount. So when your testimony stated that, you know, they were keeping, they already had 10,000 or they had a current amount. Could you explain that to me?
During, and when she was initially eligible, when she was hired, we let them know that with the insurance company, if they elect the minimum amount of 10,000 anytime during open enrollment in the future years, they can increase their coverage without any kind of medical questions.
Okay.
And so, so she would have elected, the minimum amount for her spouse, and then she's just increasing it on this enrollment.
Okay, and the amount of money per month for the 20,000 is reflected there, and I, you know, my eyes aren't as good as it could be, but I'm reading about $3.07.
That was for the 10,000.
Okay, what was the amount for the 20,000?
Logically, it would double.
Okay. And then the amount for the going from the 50,000 for Tammy to the increasing at 80,000, how much was that? Do you recall?
She had 10,000 and increased it up to 80,000. The 50,000 is for the group life.
Okay. And that was already in place, correct?
Correct.
So the 10,000 that she already had, that would be costing her about $3 a month as well, probably?
Yes.
And then she went up to 80. So how much was that insurance going up 70,000 more?
I'm not sure the exact premium.
Okay. Would it be, it wouldn't be, it would be possibly seven times the $3.07?
You know, it just, if you look at the little chart here above it, mm-hmm. This is for the spouse and their age. So the 0.307 is what it is for 10,000. So that's how it comes to the $3.07.
Right.
So if we had the chart for the employee, it doesn't always, it's not always the same for spouse and employee.
Okay. But would it be fair to say this is very reasonable insurance that's available through the school district? Would you
Correct.
Agree with that?
Correct.
So if Tammy Daybell had been working for a year or 2 years, increasing the insurance because of affordability would, and having that option, that's not anything unusual, is it?
It is not.
Okay. How many employees with this insurance working for the district did you oversee?
Sugar, it was about 200 employees.
Okay. And of those 200 employees, you seem to have very specific recollections of exactly what Mr. Daybell said to you. I find that interesting. Is there a reason why?
I believe any incident that is a bit traumatic sticks in your memory.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, the election period, we previously had a witness, Ms. Ballard, from the insurance company. Do you know that organization?
I do.
And you know that organization because they come to the school district every year or every other year to put on a presentation about the benefits of increasing insurance, correct?
That's correct.
It's like a sales presentation that they give to the teachers and the school officials every year. Would that be fair?
No, they are our broker.
Okay.
So they broker our insurance with our insurance companies. They negotiate our premiums and coverages.
Right.
And so that has already been done and approved by the board, that type of thing. They're presenting what is available to the employees.
And as the broker of the school district, it helps their bottom line to encourage teachers to up their insurance. Wouldn't that be fair?
No.
Oh, it wouldn't?
No, not to up it, no.
The brokerage insurance company selling insurance for another insurance company, they derive no benefit by getting extra business?
Well, this is a public school district, and so they receive a commission off of those that enroll. But as far as increasing the benefit, it does not benefit them.
So your explanation, I mean, I guess your representation earlier was that the Ballard Company comes in the second week or third week of August and puts on this presentation every year.
Correct.
And part of that presentation is the benefits of having the proper amount of insurance.
Correct. They'll answer questions if employees have any questions about what they should elect.
They also put on a presentation.
Yes.
And as part of that presentation, then they provide them or the ability to obtain the forms necessary to complete any changes to their insurance. Would that be fair? It's not something that a spouse or a family would request. The person who works for the school district would be provided those forms and then take them home if it was necessary for a spouse to sign them, correct?
Correct.
So in this situation, Ms. Ballard, we don't know when Ms. Ballard or her organization came in, but she came in sometime in August, correct?
Correct.
And then 2 or 3 weeks later, the form was signed by Mr. Daybell and Mrs. Daybell on the 8th of September, correct?
Correct.
And that was submitted and processed.
Correct.
And again, you don't know what the financial situation of Mrs. Daybell making $16,000 a year as a librarian, and we're unsure about Mr. Daybell's income, but you don't have any information as to how badly Chad Daybell needed the money to pay for funeral expenses and other costs, correct?
Correct.
Yep. I have nothing else, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Wick, summary direct.
Please, I apologize.
Ma'am, you were just asking questions about your memory of these events.
Yes.
Do you remember indicating that you tend to remember things that are traumatic more so than others?
Correct.
Why was this traumatic to you? What did you mean by that?
Well, the death of an employee is traumatic, and then the subsequent information that followed.
What was the subsequent information that caused the trauma for you?
The involvement with Lori and then her children missing and then just everything that happened.
So you later learned information about Lori
later,
Gallo?
Yes.
And did JJ and Tylee's name come up for you too?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any, let's draw that. You confirmed that the application to increase insurance from September 8th had both signatures of Tammy and Chad?
Correct.
Did you ever come across any reason to doubt that Chad had actually signed that document?
I did not.
Then you were asked a question about normal financial, planning contemplations, different events. Would a new wedding be a normal financial planning contemplation?
Yes.
Your Honor, I have no further questions.
All right. That will conclude the testimony then of Ms. Yancey. Thank you for appearing. Is the state intending for any reason to recall this witness in the future?
We do not, Your Honor.
Will the defense be calling this
witness? No, thank you.
Okay. If you were here under subpoena, you're released from any subpoena. Thank you for appearing this morning and testifying, and you can go ahead and step down.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome. All right. At this time, I'm going to propose we take the mid-morning recess for 20 minutes or so. Is the state okay with that?
We are, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. We'll take our mid-morning recess. Come back on at about 20 to 11.
All right, please.
Yes, I'm calling.
Thank you. Please be seated. And we're ready, I believe, to have the jurors return to the courtroom, please.
All right, please. Yourself, present counsel, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. All right, the state can call its next witness.
And, Your Honor, the state calls Sheila Daybell.
I solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Before the witness testifies here, I am going to inquire because this trial has been. Is the exclusionary order in effect for this witness?
And Your Honor, I believe that because she's the mother-in-law of one of the victims, that it doesn't apply to her. It's also our understanding that she did observe some of the trial on video. But my understanding is that because she's the mother-in-law of Tammy Daybell, that that's okay and that she's able to view that.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I'm not going to inquire then as it relates to the court's exclusionary order. So, Ms. Beatty, you may go ahead and inquire on direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ma'am, can you please state your full name and then spell your last name?
Okay. Sheila Daybell, D-A-Y-B-E-L-L.
And do you prefer for me to call you Sheila or Mrs. Daybell?
Sheila's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Sheila, are you married?
Yes.
Who's your husband?
Jack Daybell.
And do you and Jack Daybell have children together?
Yes.
Who are those children?
Chad, Paul, Matt, Brad, Becky.
And is Chad here in the courtroom today sitting over
yes.
there? Okay. Did you know an individual named Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
And who was Tammy Daybell?
She's my daughter-in-law.
Did Tammy Daybell pass away in 2009?
Yes. 19.
In 2019, thank you. Do you recall the last time that you saw Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
When was that?
October 13th of 2019.
Where were you when you saw Tammy?
At her home.
And where is her home located?
In Sugar City, Idaho.
Okay. And where do you and Jack live?
Springville, Utah.
So you and Jack traveled to Idaho to
yes.
see Tammy and Chad. What was the occasion?
Baby blessing.
And when you saw Tammy on October 13th of 2019, how did her health seem to you?
She was fine.
Okay. And did you receive a call from Chad Daybell on October 19th of 2019?
Yes.
What did Chad tell you in that phone call?
That Tammy had passed away.
What did you do when you got that phone call?
We immediately went to Idaho.
Did you go to Chad and Tammy's house?
Yes.
Did you see Chad there?
I did.
How would you describe his demeanor?
Upset.
Were Chad's children there as well?
Yes.
How would you describe their demeanor?
Upset.
And did you attend a memorial service for Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
And where was that?
In Springville, Utah.
At some time, did you learn that Chad Daybell had moved out of the residence that he had shared with Tammy?
Yes.
Do you remember approximately when you learned that?
I don't remember a certain date.
Okay. Could you estimate approximately how many weeks after Tammy's death that happened?
Oh, maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
Were you surprised to find out that Chad had moved out of the residence?
Yeah.
I want to talk to you specifically about November, the middle of November of 2019. Did you and Jack travel to Idaho?
We did.
Did you meet with Chad at a Texas Roadhouse
yes.
in Idaho Falls?
Yes.
Was it dinner time, lunch time?
Dinner time.
Okay. Now, you and Jack met Chad at the Texas Roadhouse. Was somebody else there?
Yes.
Who was that?
Lori Vallow.
Had you ever met Lori Vallow before?
No.
During that dinner, did Chad tell you and Jack anything about his relationship with Lori Vallow?
I don't think he did as much as Lori did.
Okay. What did Lori tell you?
Well, she just, we noticed that they had these rings on, and my husband said, "Are you engaged?" And they said, "No, we're married."
Were you surprised?
Yeah.
Did they tell you when they had gotten married?
No.
Now, on November 13th of 2019, this was approximately a month after Tammy's death.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you were surprised?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Did Chad or Lori tell you anything about whether or not Lori had been married before?
Chad didn't.
Did Lori?
Yes.
What did Lori tell you?
Oh, that she'd been married before?
Yes.
Well, she just said that her husband had recently died.
Did she say how he had died?
Heart attack.
When Lori said that her husband had died of a heart attack, what did Chad say, if anything?
I don't remember any specific mention.
Okay. And did Lori or Chad say anything about whether or not Lori had children?
She said she had a daughter that had died.
Do you remember how old that daughter was?
She didn't say a date.
Did she say anything about whether or not she had a young son?
No.
When Lori said that her daughter died, did Chad say anything that you recall?
I can't. No, I don't think.
At the end of that dinner, did you believe that Lori had a daughter who had died?
Yes.
Okay. Did Lori or Chad say anything about their financial situation during that dinner?
Nothing specific.
Did they make any reference to any money that they'd come into?
Nothing specific.
Did they reference their financial situation at all?
Just that they were okay.
Okay. Where were they living at the time?
You know, I don't know.
Okay. Do you know what state they were living in at the time?
At that dinner, I didn't know. I thought Idaho, maybe.
Okay. And at some point, did you learn that they had moved to Hawaii?
Yes.
And after you learned, I should ask you this. Do you remember approximately when you learned that they had moved to Hawaii?
Sometime after that.
Okay.
I don't know when exactly.
Within a few weeks or months of that dinner?
A few weeks.
Did you talk on the phone with them from time to time while they were living in Hawaii?
Yes.
Did they ever mention Lori having children there with them?
No.
Okay. And I have no further questions for this witness.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Pryor, cross-examination.
Good morning, Ms. Daybell. Prosecuting attorney asked you about your children. Obviously, you have a son, Chad. Is that right?
Yes.
And who are the other children?
Paul and Matt.
Okay, let's go slowly, though. And Paul is married to an Emily, if I remember right. Is that right?
Yes.
And then who's the next one?
Matt.
And Matt's here today, right?
Yes.
Wearing a green shirt. Okay, and who is Matt married to?
Heather.
Okay. And going back to Emily, do you have a good relationship with Emily?
Very good.
Very close. How would you describe
your... Hunter, I'm going to object based on relevance. I don't understand the relevance of Mrs. Daybell's relationship to Emily.
I don't see any relevance here either, Mr. Pryor. Is there relevance?
Judge, in regards to Emily, it's a source of information that she received about some of her testimony. So that's where I guess I could stop with Emily at this point and then present the relevance on the other witnesses as I go forward. But I'd like to start with Emily.
Okay. Well, I'll sustain that then at this point. Okay.
And in regards to Emily, at the time of this case, you were contacted by law enforcement and asked some questions, I think, of Lieutenant Ball. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And prior to that, you received or had some discussion with Emily about the case and some facts about children. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And it was Emily who provided you the information about Lori Vallow having a daughter. Is that correct?
Well, I had talked to Lori at that dinner, and she had said that daughter.
But did the interview with, the interview with Lieutenant Ball occurred in December. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And when you met with Lori, she discussed with you the idea that, or told you that she had a daughter. Is that correct?
Yes.
And she told you that daughter was deceased?
Yes.
Okay. And when you interviewed by Lieutenant Ron Ball, you confirmed that that's the information that you obtained. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you made a comment that it was Lori who was telling you this information. Is that accurate?
Yes.
And it wasn't Chad who was providing you any of this information, correct?
No.
Now, I know you know your son, Chad, right? Because you gave birth to him, right?
Right.
He lived with you in the same Springville area up until 2015?
Yes.
Okay. And ironically enough, Tammy's family's from Springville as well, correct?
Yes.
So both Tammy and Chad were both from that area. And then they migrated to Idaho in 2015, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And how would you describe Lori Vallow's personality and the manner in which she spoke with you?
Very friendly.
Okay.
Very upbeat.
Persuasive?
Yeah.
Would you say that when you talk to her, she could be very charming and convincing?
Yes.
Okay. Now we'll turn to your son, Chad, not Matt, your son, Chad. And your son, Chad, would you describe him as someone who's shy?
He can be.
Soft-spoken?
Yes.
More of an introvert?
And, Your Honor, I think we're beyond the scope here. Objection.
Overruled.
Would it be fair to say that your son, Chad, is a bit of an introvert?
Mm, yes.
He's a book writer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll also instruct the witness, please. You need to make a verbal response. So say yes or no. The nodding and shaking your head doesn't come up on our record, unfortunately.
Yes, he's a book writer.
Okay. So he's not someone who is I don't want to use that word. He's not gregarious. Do you understand what the word gregarious means?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He's not a gregarious personality, is he?
No.
He met Tammy at a relatively young age.
Yes.
And they got married very young.
Yes.
Your son, Chad, is not necessarily a man of the world, right?
Not worldly.
So he didn't have like a lot of experience in dealing with relationships or anything like that, correct?
No.
In fact, Tammy was really his only ever real serious relationship.
Yes.
And that's the woman he married.
Yes.
Now, if we fast forward to Lori Vallow, she was a different personality, a much more dynamic personality, correct?
Yes. 1 hour.
Yeah. And when we talk about Tammy, Tammy was a very kind soul.
Yes.
Very giving person. Sort of the kind of person Chad is in terms of personality, right?
Yes.
So was this a bit of a shock that suddenly your husband goes from a very charming wife who's very kind, caring, loving mother to Lori Vallow?
Yes.
That was a bit of a shock.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to be perceived as being insensitive to a subject, but in the LDS faith, it's not uncommon to get married quite quickly, is it?
Not uncommon.
Right. In fact, when young men come back from their missions, you're smiling. When young men come back from their missions, it's not uncommon for them to start a relationship with a woman and marry quite quickly. Would you agree with that?
I would agree.
Okay. So the situation with Chad, he had one marriage to Tammy, and that was met Tammy, and then within a reasonably short time, they got married, didn't they?
Yes.
Had a family, had 5 children?
Yes.
And Chad also, after the death of Tammy, it was pretty quick. We can agree that it was pretty quick that he got married to Lori, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, on the day you came down for the, when Tammy passed away, you described your son as upset.
Yes.
Visibly upset.
Yes.
Okay. And did you stay there long enough to see other people show up during that time, other visitors, the neighbors? I understand the Gilberts came over. Were you there when the Gilberts came over?
I don't remember names, but there were several people that came over.
And at that time when several people came over, and how long would you say you were there?
Oh, or 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. And during the 4 or 5 hours after Tammy passed away, did your son ever look like disinterested in the death of his wife?
No,
never. Did he ever look like he was just being stoic and businesslike when in dealing with Tammy's just recent death?
He just acted like someone who just had their partner pass away, which is
And at no time during the 5 hours that you were there and these friends were coming by, did you see anything other than someone who was upset and struggling with the loss of a partner? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Judge, I don't think I have anything else. Thank you.
All right. Redirect.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mrs. Daybell, Sheila, do you think it's common within the faith, the LDS faith, to get married 2 weeks after your spouse dies?
Not common.
Okay. Thank you very much, ma'am. I have no further questions.
Okay. Thank you. Then that will conclude the testimony of Ms. Daybell. Is the state going to be requesting an opportunity to recall her in the future in this case?
No, she's excused.
From the defense. Okay. If you appeared on a subpoena, you are released from that. Thank you for appearing and testifying today. All right. The state can call the next witness.
Your Honor, at this time, the state would call Heather Daybell.
I swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help God.
All right. This witness has been placed under oath. I'll ask again maybe some direction here before I inquire. Mr. Wixom, would this witness be subject to the court's exclusionary order? Could you use the microphone, Mr. Wixom?
Certainly. I'm sorry. Judge, we obviously will defer to the court, but she is the wife of Matt Daybell, who is a brother-in-law to Tammy Daybell. So an in-law, I think, is within the statute as a victim. I don't know how the court has ruled on an in-law of an in-law.
Yeah, I do actually want to have a quick sidebar just to map the issue out quickly before I make a snap decision here. So we'll take a quick recess while you wait just a moment.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, counsel. On the sidebar, we discussed the court's exclusionary order. There's a Idaho case called Shackelford that helps distinguish who that applies to and who doesn't. And the court determines it would not be applicable to this witness. So for that reason, I won't inquire. Thanks for the time, counsel, and working through that. So, Mr. Wixom, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ma'am, will you please state and spell your full name for the record?
Heather Daybell, Heather Daybell.
Thank you. And ma'am, for the court and the jury's sake, you recently had some kind of an injury. Is that correct?
I had a surgery. I had some artificial discs put in my cervical spine, so my throat's a little scratchy and my neck's in some pain. But,
and my understanding is you might require some breaks during your testimony for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I might invite you, as you feel like you need a break, please alert the court, and then the court will decide if and when to take a break.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Ma'am, you're related to Chad Daybell?
I am. He's my brother-in-law.
Okay. And who are you married to?
His younger brother, Matt.
And may I ask, how long have you been married?
We'll be married 30 years this winter, but we started dating 35 years ago.
Would it be safe to say then you've been acquainted with the known Chad for roughly 35 years?
He was actually on his mission when Matt and I started dating, but I was still in high school and he came home.
Oh, more than 30 years?
Yeah, 30 right. years.
Was there ever a time since you've been married to Matt that you and Chad and Tammy had lived in the same town?
When Matt and I first got married, we lived in Springville where Chad and Tammy were for a short time.
About how long, the best you could recall?
Maybe that first year. I remember helping them move up to Ogden. I'm not exactly sure. It was early on in Matt and I's marriage.
And then was there any other time subsequent to that that you and Chad lived in the same town?
Yes, when they moved to Rexburg in 2015.
So in between the time that they moved to Ogden and the time that they moved to Rexburg, how... did you interact with them at family occasions and whatnot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we'd get together, we'd talk with Tammy and Chad and their kids, yeah.
Was that something that happened frequently, infrequently?
Probably several times a year we'd get back to Springville. Not a lot, but we would several times a year.
From your perspective, was it a normal amount of contact?
I would say so, yeah.
I want to just stop now and ask, how would you describe the nature of your relationship with Chad?
In the beginning, when Matt and I first were married, it was normal as any in-law relationship would be.
And then, like I said, we've moved away. We didn't live close, but when we'd get together, we would talk mainly about his books. That seemed to be the topic most of the time of conversation, but I would say cordial and nothing out of the ordinary.
At any point, did the relationship, the nature of your relationship with him change?
It did, yes.
When did it change?
2014, when he started talking about end of times events and discussing a book that he had published for Julie Rowe.
We'll come back to that, but how did this relationship change at that point?
I was concerned about the things that he was telling the family and telling Matt and I. I was not comfortable with what he was informing us with.
Will you please elaborate to the jury, what were the things that Chad was saying or teaching you that caused you the concerns?
He indicated that there would be an earthquake that would be happening and in 2015, and he was kind of making us aware and preparing us for all of these end times events that were going to happen and cause a lot of destruction in Utah, in particular Salt Lake area.
Did he explain to you why he believed those events would occur?
Those were events that Julie Rowe had seen in a near-death experience. And so he had talked about those things with her as he published her book. And then he indicated he was seeing those things in vision as well.
So Chad is someone who had expressed to you and your family these visions that he had had?
Mm-hmm. That he could see beyond the veil and see future events.
Were there other things that he explained to you that caused you concern, other teachings in addition to that?
At that point, it was mainly that. It was just these end of times events and when they would happen.
Later, were there other teachings or things that he would say to you or your family that caused you concern?
When he informed us he was thinking of moving his family to Rexburg in 2014, it started, we actually had a conversation with him asking him exactly what it was he thought was going to happen. And we had a pretty detailed conversation.
I'd like to pause you there. To the best you can recall, can you tell the jury when did that conversation occur?
That conversation was when they came out, Chad, Tammy, and some of their children came out to Rexburg to look for homes. And Matt and I sat with Chad in our home. That would have been summertime 2015.
And what happened in that conversation?
it was, excuse me, it was asking him point blank to give us the details of why he felt he needed to make this move. And he indicated that, and in particular, the houses that he was looking at were very close to our home. And we had some concerns with that. He told my husband and I that we would become great leaders in this gathering of people that would happen because of all the destruction in Utah. That our land where we lived would help in that, and that our home would become like a church or a temple. He was telling us those kinds of things. And that he felt like he needed to be in Rexburg with his family because the headquarters in Salt Lake of the church would end up having to move to Rexburg when all this destruction happened.
Did he ever explain to you whether he had seen or believed that he would have any kind of a significant role in this?
Mainly just that he would be helping in this gathering of people with their tents and everything, that he would be helping in that cause.
So based on what he was telling you, did he perceive his need to move to Rexburg to be something he could do to fulfill his role?
Yes, that he had a part to play in that.
Mm-hmm. Did you believe these visions or teachings at the time that Chad was sharing?
No, I did not.
Then help the jury understand, why was that a concern to you? If you didn't believe them, why was it concerning?
Because he had let us know he was going to let people be knowing of this with Julie Rowe's book and trying to prepare people as all this destruction happened, that's why he was coming, and that he felt that we were going to be helping in that cause.
So further, if you don't believe them, why was there a concern that you had that he would be telling everybody about this?
Because in the belief system I had at that time in the LDS church, just some average person doesn't get information specific like that to share with others. In my belief at the time, we had a prophet of the church that would let us know if we needed to do anything to prepare for something like that. So in my understanding and how I had been taught, it wouldn't come through someone like Chad.
So let me ask you this way. If you didn't believe these things, why do you need to care about it if he's out teaching this stuff to people?
Because my opinion was that was incorrect and that he was spreading that around to other church members. And that's, as I was taught, you don't do that.
Okay. So during this conversation that you were referring to in your home, did you ever confront Chad or tell him that you don't believe these things?
I did. I told him that I wasn't feeling good about what he was saying and that I was very blunt. I just flat out said, I don't believe what you're saying.
What was his reaction to you?
Chad doesn't show a lot of reaction. So it was just, okay, that was about it. He didn't argue or anything like that.
Did you express concerns about whether or not he should move near you?
Yes. Matt and I both did that. We decided years and years ago that we wanted to live apart from family. We do better that way as a couple, and had made a home for ourselves in Rexburg. We'd been in the area 15 years at that point. And we did express to him as he was looking at homes near us that we, if he needed to move to Rexburg, that was fine. Please just move somewhere not right in our neighborhood and not in our ward.
Why was it important to you that he not move in your neighborhood and ward?
Because I knew why he was coming, and I didn't want him trying to draw in people from my ward and having people associate his close proximity to us that we were involved or agreed with him.
Would it be fair to say, were there reputational concerns for you and your family?
We've built a business in Rexburg. We've made a good name for ourselves and didn't want there to be issues because of what Chad was coming with.
How did the conversation end?
We had gone and looked at homes. The conversation at that point, they said they didn't find a home that they liked. And so they just kind of put it all on pause, asked if they could store their stuff in a shed or something at our house in case they needed to quickly come to Rexburg. They'd have some supplies there. We told them they could do that. So when they left from that trip, we were under the impression that they wouldn't be moving soon.
Excuse me. So having explained all this at that point, how would you then describe your relationship with Chad at that point?
I was relieved at that point, so I kind of didn't worry about it because he indicated they wouldn't be coming. So, but to me, it felt, I don't know if I'd even say, it was strained. It was strained at that point. I was struggling.
How was it strained? Could you explain that?
Again, it was just my concerns with his trying to convince his family and others that these events were going to happen. And so as he wasn't going to let up on that he was quite certain. We asked him, is this happening? And he said, this is happening. And so,
may I interrupt you?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by this is happening?
All of these events, the earthquake and everything, that those things were happening in 2015.
Did you later learn that he and Tammy did have immediate plans to move to Rexburg?
It was shortly after that. I can't remember for sure. It was about a week or two. We did get a phone call that they had put an offer on the home that they bought and that they were moving.
And approximately, when did that happen?
That would be summer 2015. I can't remember exactly if it was July, August. I don't remember for sure.
When you found out about that, what was your reaction? What did you do?
I cried. I was very upset. Asked my husband to please talk him out of it, but the home was already in process of being bought at that point. So there wasn't anything that I could do about it.
And we'll come back to that for a moment. Can you please explain to the jury What at the time that Chad started having these visions and sharing them in 2014 or 15, what was your relationship like with Tammy?
About the same. We were cordial and friendly, and when we'd see each other at family events, we would visit and just normal.
Did that ever change?
Once they moved to Rexburg, because she knew we weren't happy about that move, we talked and things as they moved, and I tried to do a few things to help her. So I wouldn't say off the bat that it was strained with Tammy. That progressed as time went on.
And likewise, to go back on something you mentioned, I think you said Chad was teaching these things to his own family.
That's the understanding I had, yeah.
Did you ever get any sense of whether or not his wife and children were believing these things?
In a conversation I had with Chad and Tammy, it was Chad that indicated that he would come home with these visions and he'd say new things and she'd kind of look at him and roll her eyes, but then she would go pray on it and get an answer that he was right. So, especially concerning the move to Rexburg, she indicated that's how that went, is that he would come home with things, should be
sustained.
Yeah. Did you get any of this information from Chad, or was it just from Tammy?
Well, the information of him receiving visions and bringing it to her and her kind of rolling her eyes, that was from Chad. He said that to me.
Okay. Did he explain that Tammy would ever change her mind?
I don't recall him saying she'd change her mind. I don't recall that.
Just based upon your interaction then, did you ever come to believe that Tammy was accepting of his visions?
I took it, yes, that she was. After some time, if it was something that seemed off to her, strange, she'd pray about it and then get a confirmation.
It's an objection, I suppose, based on hearsay. So that's sustained.
Thank you. So, ma'am, with respect to the children, did you ever have any, based on observations and interactions, not what they may have said, did you ever come to get a feel or believe whether or not they were accepting of their father's visions?
From my observation, yes, they all believed his visions.
Did that appear to be true with all the children?
Yes.
Was there ever a time that Chad tried to engage your children and explain these visions to them?
Yes, my second child, my oldest son, came to Matt and I. This would have been 2014-ish, maybe. Chad had approached him and told him that he would be a leader in this.
This is Mr. Wixom, response to that objection, please.
Judge, really, it's just going to state of mind, not to the any truth of the any visions, just simply how it was impacting her son, whether he believed these things. It's under 8033.
It's objections overruled on a hearsay objection. It's overruled, so you can continue.
Thank you. You may answer.
So he just came to us. He was uncomfortable that Chad had approached him. And so in a later conversation, I did confront Chad on that and asked him not to approach my children.
How did Chad react to that confrontation?
Same way. Okay.
Was there ever a time that you had any confrontations with Chad in your backyard?
We had, once they had moved to Rexburg, so again, summer of 2015, shortly after that, I was concerned for Tammy and wanted to know how she was doing. So we asked Chad and Tammy to come over and have a visit with us. And he indicated that that would be fine, but to direct our questions or whatever we wanted to say at Chad and not at Tammy, because she would get upset at us if we directed anything at her.
Had you had any history prior to that with Tammy getting upset with you about anything?
No.
And to be clear, it was Chad who gave you this instruction?
Yes.
So in that conversation, did you follow Chad's instruction to only talk to him, or did you talk directly to Tammy?
I did not follow that instruction. Tammy was a grown woman, so I directed my questions at her.
Had you prior to that or since then, ever seen any other behavior that may have caused you concern between Chad and Tammy?
No, they seemed like a happy couple.
Before or since that, did Chad ever try to stop Tammy from talking or others to from talking directly to her?
Not that I'm aware of.
So that was the only incident?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did he react when you continued to address Tammy?
Pretty typical. He didn't react. We just had a conversation. He didn't seem upset or anything that I was talking directly to her.
What was the result of that conversation with Chad and Tammy?
My main intent for that conversation was to ask if Tammy was doing okay with the move, because I knew she was initially not wanting to move to Rexburg. And she again said she had prayed about it and felt like it was a good thing for their family. So said okay, and then talked a little bit further with Chad about his visions and things. And I again said, I don't have any confirmation in myself that any of that's true or going to happen.
Did you get any indication from Chad's responses or reactions to you rejecting his beliefs? Did that affect him in any way that you could tell?
No, there's usually very little reaction. So it was just kind of nods, and that was it.
So how long after that was it that they'd actually moved into your neighborhood?
To me, it seems like weeks. It was pretty recently after they moved. I don't remember exactly. Summer of 2015.
How far away was their home from yours?
It's about a half a mile. You just go to the end of our street and turn onto Salem Highway, and they're about a half a mile down the street.
Can you see each other's homes from standing outside? Do you have that vantage point?
No, you'd have to go to the highway to see their house, because there's a bend, so not directly from my house. But once you turn onto the highway, it's right there.
But if you wanted to walk, you're estimating a half of a mile?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes for the record?
Yes, I've actually timed that because I walk that road, so it's a half a mile.
And once they actually moved there, did you have regular interaction? Did you ever go to the home?
I went. When they initially moved, I went once or twice. I took Tammy some bread. I called her, gave her some suggestions of doctors and dentists and things like that. I remember going to watch Emma speak in church. Leah had a homecoming thing. I tried to support their kids where I could. So I was in their home a few times initially.
Would it be safe to say that you were in their home enough that if I showed you some photographs, that you'd be able to recognize those photographs of their home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your Honor, at this time, I have what is marked as the state's proposed exhibits 420D. They are not stipulated. I'd like to offer those and ask that they be handed to the witness. I've got two copies for the court, one for the defense, if I may.
I'll take a look at them. Thank you.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.